Hello and welcome to Diary of the Suburban Hood Moms.
Real talk with real sisters. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is episode I'm Mexican?
Sponsored by Victus Equities. Today is Friday, June 5th.
In the year of chaos 2020.
Now, we knew that we wanted to do something about race, but we really had to think this out very, very carefully.
Because we can't speak from a black perspective because, duh, motherfuckers,
we ain't black. And if we sat here trying to be like, well, you see, the problem is we sound like a bunch of posers. And did I just date myself by saying poser?
Kind of. I don't know, because I think most moms on this and dads are like the same age as us-ish.
So they should know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't want to just try to be like, oh, let's just, everyone's talking about it. This needs to be discussed, but it had to be done in a way that we could bring you our perspective, because we can't bring you anyone else's.
So let me give you a little footnote. I very much love use of the term Latinx.
No, I don't like that. That's some millennial shit right there.
I'm not a millennial.
I mean, we don't know. It depends.
I'm done.
It depends.
I'm going to quit every time. Every podcast, I'm going to quit. So quit for this one.
Taking the podcast with you.
I'm leaving. Taking my notebook.
I like Latina, Latino. I just think it sounds better. Latinx.
So here was my thing. I remember being in high school and taking Spanish class, and I was really annoyed if it was a group of women, they were all Latinas, right? But if a dude walks in, just one dude, the whole thing changed to Latinos. And I remember thinking to myself,
that's not fair. There's more girls in the group than boys.
Right. Why does it have to have like a gender specific?
Right.
And then I remember recently, like in the last 2005,
when I looked up, was the first time the origin of the word right. Latinx was used.
But I only heard it. I'm saying.
I'm just telling you, that's how soon it is. Calm down.
I need a drink. I heard it like in the last year or so. And I was like, see, I like that.
Because, it's so inclusive.
Well, not even inclusive. Don't even go there.
I'm just saying.
But it doesn't all of a sudden make it inclusive. A male-dominated thing.
See, I ain't trying to go that. I think the word, the way it flows off the tongue, la lingua, la la la, I think that is prettier. Latina, Latino, not Latinx.
I like Latinx.
I don't like it. So she's going to say Latinx.
And I'm going to say Latinos.
Because I like it. All right.
Well, then you should just say Latino because that's for the group.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but if I'm referring to myself as a Latina, I'm not saying, because you know, as a Latinx.
But you got a dick, so you better use Latina.
How about the only X I like is those X.
You don't have a dick. You are a dick.
I am a dick. You better
use Latina.
But whenever I say dick, I hear Cardi B saying dick. You know how she does that?
Yeah.
Oh, it tastes like dick when she says that kind of stuff.
I mean, that would be something that would be probably tasty. Funny. But whatever. Tastes like the next hood moms.
Tastes like chicken. Smell like fish.
Okay. We are so past this. What we can tell you about, since we just said we're not black.
No.
Is we can tell you what it's like being Latinx.
Latina, Latino.
In this country. And especially being Mexican American in this country.
Now, okay. This is a serious topic. And we have to be. We're being. Just to do this, you hear the word Mexican-American and immediately
you see
Cheech and Chong. And if you have not seen that
Up in smoke,
go to YouTube, type in Cheech and Chong Mexican-American song.
Because the whole time we're planning this podcast, every time we said Mexican-American, we go Mexican-American.
I mean, it's just, and then you kind of like, hee, you got to do it. I'm just saying.
Even when we hit serious topics, we have to try and keep it lighthearted.
But you know what? We don't even have to try. We can't help it. Even when we're talking, even when we get to talking about like my miscarriages, it's going to be funny.
They're like, these bitches is twisted.
Because all this stuff really happened. And we can't help but being inappropriate. That's just who we are.
And that's my coping mechanism, God damn it.
It's not my coping mechanism.
Dang it. I'm not supposed to say the GD. That's disrespectful.
No GD.
G-A-W-D.
G-A. Gawd. That's like God and Gandalf. Gowled.
Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.
I really try, though, not to say the GD.
She does. She tries really hard.
Because I don't want to respect the big guy. Disrespect. I don't want to disrespect the big guy upstairs.
Because, you know, as we said before, we sinners, but we be cursing a lot, and we don't want to be, like, you know, that bad. I could tell you to fuck off, but I can't say that to Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even put that in the same sentence. Oy vey. So
people are like, I don't understand. She just made a joke about miscarriage, and now they're like, oh, no, you didn't. Yes, we did. Mm. And we're going to do it again.
Wait till we talk about your mama.
Yeah, we've been. Go ahead. Yeah.
So we grew up knowing that we were Mexican, Italian, Americans. But in the end of it, we were just American.
Yeah, that was really the thing that was driven home, like pounded into our heads from day one. No matter what, we were American. Now, we are second generation American
sometimes third. It just depends on which grandparent.
It just depends on which grandparent. So we are not the children of immigrants. And possibly had it been that way, maybe our view would be different. But both of our parents are U.S. born. And 50% of our grandfather. So both of our grandmothers were immigrants, and both of our grandfathers were not.
Those pioneering women.
I know.
And on the same note of parents and grandparents, all of our grandparents' first language was not English.
No.
They were all non-English speakers. And even Chapo, our mother.
Yeah.
Her first language was Spanish.
She did not learn. She learned English by the time she got to school. So now when you talk to her, you really don't notice at all, other than...
Unless she says sandwich.
Or anxious. I'm feeling very anxious. And we're like, anxious, Mom? That's what I said.
Or theater.
Or that was Dad, too.
Yeah, both of them.
But honestly, both are correct phonetically.
But who says theater?
Mom and Dad and people of their generation. The boomers.
Boomers.
I like the boomers. when she says certain words, it comes out. And that's when we're just like, ESL.
But ESL means English second language.
In case you didn't know. I think most people, I hope most people.
A lot of people don't have a clue.
I get that. Anyway. Oh. So our, you know, we get that.
We mentioned our age difference. I know. She ain't choking on no dick, though.
Dick.
We mentioned our age difference in other episodes, but there's only a 5-year age difference with us.
But it might as well be
a century.
Because our experiences growing up are very different.
So I describe Andrea's experience growing up Mexican, Italian, American, just American.
Mexican, Italian, American, just American.
As a blissful ignorance. And she will explain to you why.
So for me, I never grew up really feeling one way or another about anything. I've known from the beginning that what my cultural background was. I've known from the beginning that... my grandparents had accents, at least two of them did. Our Italian grandmother had her very thick accent. And our American-born grandfather had a very strong Spanish accent. But other than that, that's all I knew. My friends never treated me any differently. There was never any feeling of like, I don't belong here. There was never any feeling even in high school that I shouldn't go into this part of town. I could go, and this is all true. I could go literally from South Central, where my dad grew up and spent the large majority of his teaching years teaching in South Central. My first job was in South Central, to Huntington Beach behind the Orange Curtain, ooh, California, over into East LA, and feel no different, like safe, like I belong, like I fit in. And in that sense, there was a sense of blissful ignorance to my existence. because I never felt anything other than just a regular American kid. Nikki, however, had a different experience.
So mine was more of like a confusing awareness. I always felt that I was different from my friends. So even my friends that were of some sort of Latinx.
Latina.
I still would be like, oh, but they're more Americanized than I am. Or I just didn't feel like I kind of fit in anywhere. I didn't feel like I could hang out with like the all Hispanic crowd, or I could hang out with like the all white crowd. Like I just really never felt like I could find my footing. And I felt that everywhere that I went that it was like, oh, look, there's that Mexican kid. And at that point, like, you know, I didn't really experience anything that made me feel that way. I just had this weird hyper awareness. It was just different for me. I just kind of always felt like I'm not Mexican. I'm not American. I'm not Italian. Like, where do I fit into all this?
And it's really odd because nothing in our home changed. The conversations have always been the same. But I think society itself was beginning to change. I think that when I was growing up, my childhood, I was very much an 80s kid, born in the 70s, a child in the 80s, coming into my teen years, and like the whole 90s grunge era is my teen years. And even so, my friends were very much, I had all different types of ethnic backgrounds for friends, and everyone just kind of was like, whatever. But I think by the time Nikki came, I mean, this is post LA riots now, by the time Nikki came in, and I think the conversation was very fresh. And I mean, this is, you can't quote me on any of this because I don't know if any of this is statistically true, but just in thinking about it, I think what may have happened is that because the conversation became more prevalent, and because the faces of white majority was beginning to decrease, I really think at that time, probably had been for a very long time, but now it's becoming more noticeable, at least in California. I think because the minority population was increasing, you become more aware that things are changing somehow. Whereas I'm just kind of like, duh, you know, whatever.
And a part of it could be too, I've always been an overthinker. I overthink everything to the ground.
Fucking
and
Pisces.
I know. I wrote about my emotions in my heart. Oy. But I think that could be it too. Even at that young age, I just kind of noticed like, hey, you know, this friend is blonde, or this friend's skin is darker than, like, I just noticed.
Now, I did everything. When we were in seventh grade, and I don't know if any kids that went to elementary school will ever listen to this. And if they do, they're girls and they hate me, unless they're like a few of them. We did do the like
count them on one hand.
Blonde hair versus brunette volleyball game. But that was more for like, I know.
So you don't pick teams.
Like, we don't pick teams. Let's just split up. If you have blonde hair, you're on that side. If you're on brunette hair, you're on another side. And it was actually a white mom who called the principal. And I got called into the office with another blonde girl as like the ringleader. I'm like, foe.
That's funny.
We're just splitting up the team. I'll tell you who the parent is after we're done here.
Damn it. Write it down. I want to know.
But that was the only thing. But that wasn't, I mean, so much a racist thing as it was a dumb way you figured, right?
Yeah.
Nikki just found out who. A dumb way of just mixing up the teams. We're kids.
And I also never experienced racism coming from white people at that time to make me think that. For both of us, actually, our first encounters with any sort of racism, colorism, came from our own people's prejudices.
Yep.
Within our own culture.
Yep.
So one of the things we were talking about and laughing is, so we're only a quarter Italian.
However, in terms of how we were raised, because our Mexican grandfather on our paternal side was dead before we were born, the Italian influence, which is our grandmother, who was a war bride from Italy, the Italian influence in us is just as strong as the Mexican, because she was a very, very strong voice in our upbringing.
And so she brought, obviously, her Italian cultures and tradition here, and we assimilated to it, or didn't even assimilate to it. That's just how we grew up.
We grew up. We were born into it.
And so one of the things I would hear is, you know, somebody would ask, and this is, you know, later teenage years.
Right.
Well, what are you? You know, and we'd say like Mexican, Italian, and a splash of Spaniard.
We think.
And they'd be like, you're not fucking Italian.
And this is other Mexicans.
That they know me. I would get so pissed off because I'd be like, how the fuck do you know me more than I know me?
Right.
Like, my grandmother, my nona, is literally from Italy.
Right.
All of her sisters and her were born in Italy.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there and tell me I'm not fucking Italian?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to claim some little sliver of white.
Right.
So I'm less Mexican? Like, go fuck yourself.
Like, we didn't even think that way, right? But we got that a lot. Nikki, I think, got that the most. I, however, did not. But by this point, by your age, our dad was now teaching in East LA.
Right. So
now our experiences are no longer with the Black community, which is all we knew from birth.
And we never got shit from the Black community.
Ever, ever, ever. We got shit from the Mexican community.
And so our dad was a Vietnam veteran. Yeah. And he was a proud American. We were proud American. I'm still a proud American. But his students would come up and be like, hey, ask Mr. Mendoza, his daughter, like, what is she? So they'd come up and they'd be like, what are you? And I'd look at them just kind of like, duh, I'm American.
Right.
And they thought that shit was hilarious.
Right. Like somehow we were, I don't know, in denial or whatever.
Or and like ashamed of being Mexican.
That's like going to Mexico, asking a Mexican, well, what are you? And
they might have like German blood in them.
But they might have that in them, but expecting them to say like, oh, I'm German. When it's like, well, no, but they're not going to say that. They're going to say that they're Mexican because they were born in Mexico. So that was our predominant culture. We weren't talking about our ethnicity. We were talking about our culture. Our cultural upbringing was American because we're born in the United States.
And, oh, I hiccuped. Oh. Excuse me.
How very lazy. Like, it was so dainty too. Like, right? Oh.
Because I breathed in all that hot air.
That's right.
And then for me, as I got older and I started working and I would make friends with people that were bilingual. Okay, cool. You're bilingual. And you're some sort of Spanish-speaking culture, Hispanic, Latinx, whatever the fuck you want to identify with. And they would make fun of the fact that I didn't speak Spanish. So then it's like, you're not fucking Mexican, dude. You don't even speak Spanish.
Well, then you become defiant.
Right. And then I would be like, well, you know what? I don't want to fucking learn Spanish.
Right. And as it is, we weren't taught Spanish via request. Our dad was a Spanish teacher.
There is our shame hanging on a tassel on the wall for all to see.
Our parents are bilingual.
Okay? Dad was trilingual.
Kind of. I mean, he spoke a little. He wasn't like fluent.
But he spoke
like that other one. But he could. He could speak. He could understand. Here's our parents, our bilingual parents. We have Spanish-speaking grandparents that lived just a hop, literally, hop, skip, and a jump from us. And then in the later years, our grandmother living with us, who was a Mexican immigrant. But she came when the borders were open.
Yeah.
She was very, very...
Don't go coming for my nana's papers, because I'm going to kick your ass.
And she did, anyway. But she was always made a point to let us know that she was born in 1912. She came to the United States in 1916.
When the borders were open.
But she stayed in fear of La Migra forever.
Yeah. Like, our dad at one point in time was like, hey, let's go here in Mexico on this vacation. I heard about this or that. And our nana would refuse to go.
Because La Migra. was going to get her.
And she was already old.
She old. Ain't nobody going to take her
back. She had her naturalized paperwork and everything.
And Trump wasn't in power back then, so she ain't got to worry about no ICE.
We're not advertising the enemies of our lives.
I'm not advertising. I'm just saying it was a lot less focused on back then. But anyway, our grandfather, our maternal grandfather, insisted that my mother raise us speaking English only because he wanted to improve his English. Now, he was born in the United States, but he was born in
and you would never know.
You would have never known because his accent was so thick, but he was born in a part of Arizona where the Mexican border is like on one side and he's on the other. So he grew up with that thick accent that was just so adorable, but his idols, like he had to like watch like John Wayne movies and watch Dodger baseball and Bonanza and have his grandchildren speaking English to really perfect his English. So we always heard the adults speaking Spanish when they didn't want us to know.
Yes, if it was super secret,
right.
The adults would speak in Spanish and we're like, shit, we're fucked now.
Yeah, the only thing we knew right away is all kids normally learn first are the bad words. So that's the Hoodlipedia.
And the food.
And the food. But that was kind of our introduction into our Mexicanness. Like that was the gist of what we knew as children. So for me, I got a lot of shade thrown when I started working in like retail. And I would get Spanish-speaking people coming to me and would immediately start to speak Spanish. And I would say, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't speak Spanish. And then immediately their language would change to perfect English, by the way. And they would just demean me like you're a disgrace.
Yes.
How could you not? Well, by now I'm older and I'm like, excuse me. And I would go on this rant of like, I speak English. Now, however, if I were in Mexico trying to speak English and expect you to know it, that's something different. But this is where I was born. I know English. No, no, no. I mean, angry. Very, very angry. I'm trying still to rectify within myself whether or not they were just. They weren't. That's some wrong shit to do to somebody.
That was just motherfuckers being
rude.
That's
just some teenage shit that I got put on because I was young and they felt that they could tell me.
Well, and then like for me, like even if I thought I could get my point across in Spanish, I was so self-conscious of my Americanized accent when I spoke Spanish that I wouldn't because I didn't want to butcher the language.
I just saw on a meme just like the other day, it pissed me off. And it was this guy coming into a room and his grandmother was making up the bed and he speaks to his grandmother in Spanish and she answers him. And in the comment section, okay, all you read was criticism about his Spanish. And I'm like, motherfuckers, this kid is actually speaking the language. And you're going to sit there and even critique that? That shit pissed me off. But the bulk of my earliest forms of racism actually came from also, so not only did it come from other
Spanish
Latinos
speakers
and Latinas, it came from other minority groups as well. So my husband's Asian. Okay, he's Filipino. And when we first started to
date... That's Pacific Islander.
No, it is not. They're Asian. And I will get my father-in-law on here and he will explain to you why. But anyway, and I would get a little bit of shade thrown my way. However...
Not by everybody.
Not by everybody. By some people. However, if someone else would bring home like a white guy, there was a lot less shade thrown. I don't know why. Maybe because it was like they were like the trophy. But here I am, to them, just this Mexican girl. Like I said, not all. And all of a sudden, it was like, obviously, once they got to know me and things like that, it's like,
then
okay.
They really hated her, not just for her.
Then it was like,
her race.
She's here for good. We better be nice. But no, then it was like, oh, okay. And it's funny because our cultures are so damn similar.
So we have relatives on our Mexican side that are darker Mexicans and fully fluent Spanish speakers. And we never got any shade from them.
Absolutely
ever,
none.
Ever, ever, ever.
If anything, they were the ones that treated us with such complete love and like, it's just family. There was never a, oh, mija, why don't you speak Spanish? Or how come you don't learn? Or let's make fun of them. We never experienced that. It was just no matter where we went in our upbringing, because just like we have.
We have on our Italian side, some that are pure Italian.
Just Italian. There's no.
And there was never an issue there. We were all cousins. That, there wasn't any Mexican jokes.
None. Like, absolutely none.
It was all cool.
Their mothers and fathers were just our aunts and uncles. And all they saw us as were their nieces and nephews. And so growing up, we kind of grew up in this little bliss bubble of acceptance and never really understanding that kind of feeling of exclusion until we got older.
So then we get older, we have these experiences with people.
And now we're pissed.
And yeah, for me, I just became bitter.
We're never going to get like hurt. We're going to go straight to pissed off.
And so I'm not going to speak Spanish to you even if I can.
Right.
And I'm going to throw shade your way too, because if you're throwing it at me, I'm going to throw it at you.
Right.
But then we get older and we start our families and really wanting to learn more about our Mexican culture on our own.
So what happens is, we were not raised with any kind of knowledge of our Mexican traditions. My grandmother, our Nana, who was from Mexico, did not impart any of those traditions on our mother. So
we did tamales and menudo, and our Nana could make the best tortillas.
And that was it. We heard a lot of stories. But we did not inherit the beautiful traditions.
So we had like no posadas.
No.
We never celebrated Dia de los Muertos.
There was no ofrenda that was created, like the altar that you see during Dia de los Muertos. We never put those up.
There was no Mexican Mother's Day. It was just the American Mother's Day.
Right. And that's a big deal in the Mexican culture, Mexican Mother's Day. It's a very big deal.
And then there was no Dia de los Reyes. Like, the first time I saw that, I was like, what is that?
Right, which is, what's the other Reyes?
It's the Feast of the Kings, the Epiphany.
Right, and so for us, because we're Catholic, and we are practicing Catholics, even though we drop F-bombs like there's no tomorrow.
Jesus loves a sinner.
That's right. These are very strong cultural practices for a culture that is, we're not all Mexicans, obviously, are Catholic, but for our family, the traditions are very closely tied into religion.
And I don't know, like for you, like when you wanted to start like practicing these and learning these, mm-hmm. did you feel like, I'm like not Mexican enough to do it?
Like I felt like I did not want to just seem like I was giving into a trend. Because it just so happened that, and probably not, but because
you were just maybe more aware of it.
Because social media was on the rise, you're starting to see more things on social media. So girls that I had gone to high school with that I knew in college and that were Mexican or any other type of Latina or the guys. Latinx.
You try to get that one by on me.
You try to blow. Dang it, Nikki. I hate when you made me lose my train of thought. Shut up.
So rude. Wait again. And since we're talking about Mexicans, adios, putos.
So I would notice that they had these wonderful traditions that I'd known about. At this point, I know about them, but I didn't know about them. I remember being in high school going to Olvera Street, which is like this place in L.A., downtown L.A.
Downtown.
And it's just this district of Latino art and restaurants. And it's so rich in culture. And I'm like looking around like, ain't none of this up in my house. Mm-mm. And I loved it.
Because it's so colorful and vibrant.
Beautiful.
And warm.
Now, we did grow up listening to like
Linda Ronstadt,
yeah, of course,
and Vicente Fernandez.
Absolutely. All that stuff was known, but still, the really strong, rich, the beauty of our culture, of our Mexican culture, was not passed on to us because it was not passed on to my mom. Whereas my mom's cousins, who are her age, they are swimming in this culture. So for me, coming to Arizona, my mom's from Tucson, and visiting her family was just like the best time because the culture was so rich there. And I craved it. I thought it was wonderful, but I didn't quite know what it was. I just thought like, oh, I love that part of the family is so much fun. Actually, all of our family could be a lot of fun, but it was different. It was different than what we were growing up with.
Because we grew up, even in our California family, our paternal grandfather's side, who's still alive.
Yeah.
We didn't know them.
We didn't have a lot of interactions with them. So even that Mexican part was kind of watered down and lost. So we knew like the Italian culture and our American culture, and we knew other parts of our Mexican heritage, but not the very beautiful, rich cultures, the art and everything that came with it, the histories even that came with it. And so as we started to kind of dive into that, as we grew older, it kind of felt like we were dipping our toe into a pond that maybe we either weren't welcome in or that we just really didn't.
It was just uncharted territory.
Right.
And that's kind of.
And what's funny is we both started doing that stuff without the other one knowing.
And really that happens so much with us.
All the time.
We have like that twin connection in a sense, like, oh my God, I had this dream. No, I had this dream.
Right.
And it kind of falls the same way with this. She on her own, with Andrea on her own, was already trying to learn more about our culture. I was too. And we didn't know until we actually talked to each other, like, dude, no, I'm doing that. And then it becomes a off between us. But we really had to come to terms with our pocha. And we wear that. Hold on. And we wear that title very, very proudly.
And what does pocha mean, Nikki?
A pocha is a Mexican American female with a limited Spanish vocabulary and speaks with a clear Americanized accent. I wish I would have known that word years ago.
Like our whole lives. Our whole lives.
Because now we're like pocha proud. Yeah. I'm a proud pocha. We got little mini pochas running around.
Yeah, I've got no shame in that, in wearing that badge, that pocha badge, because we did grow up with like that Spanglish and being like, I remember talking to people saying, I can understand you, but I can't communicate back.
And if you could, you were probably like, oh, I'm
embarrassed.
Fuck up that
like
word.
I'm embarrassed to use it, you know.
I remember going to a friend's house in grade school, right? And in our house growing up in the kitchen, there was always a trapo.
Yes, which is a rag. It's just okay. like a dish rag.
But that's just what it was called.
A trapo.
And then we had a palita.
Which is just a dustpan when you're sweeping.
But those are the only words they were called. So I'm at a friend's house and something spills and we're trying to clean it up. And I'm like, oh, do you have a trapo? And then they're looking at me.
Like, what's a trapo?
I didn't know it was a fucking Spanish term, man.
And it might vary from home to home or from, I don't know.
A toalla, whatever the fuck you call it.
We don't even know what people call it, but we were raised calling it a trapo.
And then I'm like, okay, what about a palita?
What's a palita?
And I'm like, that thing with the broom.
Them things on the pillow. That little thing like that you sweep the dust into.
And then it was like, OMG. There's words we grew up with
that we didn't the even real words.
Know yep. They were English or non-English words.
So here we are all now very, very proud in our, incredibly proud of our pocha pride.
But then we're going to jump back a little bit more
okay,
in
go,
time.
Go.
So like I said, in California, I never experienced any sort of blatant racism. Like I said, that was all me kind of like feeling different. And then I moved to Texas.
Texas.
And it's not everybody in Texas, because I know my Texans are proud. So calm your heels. But it wasn't until I lived in Texas.
Cool your spurs.
Yeah, I thought about that. But I'm like, that's too
prejudicial. Yeah.
And then I was called a spick. And not just one time. Like, breathe.
That's
a few times.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I was just in shock because I'm always ready to fight.
Always ready to fight.
And I remember the first time I'm like, this bitch just called me a fucking spick. Like, just in shock.
Right.
And then the second time I was called a spick, then I laughed. And I was like, really?
Like this happens?
I was just called a spick.
Right.
And I mean, there were other instances that happened, you know, moving to a new neighborhood with two Filipinos, go figure. And
you can't get away.
And a lady,
Pinoy Pride,
comes to the door wondering what we're doing there. Why are we there? And I'm like, why is this your business?
To have the balls to knock on someone else's door and demand to know why they're living in your building.
And just, it was a house. It was a house.
Why they're living in the house.
And she just like, she looked us up and down and was like, well, I want you to know I have a rifle above my door and I have this gun and that gun. And I remember thinking,
oh my God,
why is this lady getting ready for the revolution?
Oh my God.
And so it was little instances like that, that I was even more hyper aware, like, ooh, I guess I look Mexican.
Right.
I guess people look at me and are like, ooh, that bitch a dirty Mexican.
Right. So I guess we're going on this trip.
Yeah.
Like, right. So for me, I'm not going to spill it.
You are.
I'm holding my water because I'm thirsty. And she won't let me be holding my water because she thinks I'm going to spill it.
She spills everything.
It's Sunshine Market all over again.
Different story.
Different story, different time. For me, it was moving to Arizona where we are to this day. And if you are in Arizona, this is in no way calling Arizona a racist town, but this is my story, bitch. So buckle up. For me, it was moving here. And when my husband and I would first, you would think in living in California that people would be more on their guard, right? And I found that not to be necessarily true. For us, when we would go to the grocery store, so here he is, he's Asian. And as far as, I think so.
Oh.
As far as anyone else could tell, I guess, I am a Latina.
Or Middle Eastern, that's up for discussion.
Or Middle Eastern, I do kind of look Middle Eastern. Great, now other people in our lives are just not going to talk to me anymore.
She's estúpida.
Estúpida. Hoodlopedia.
Hoodlopedia.
Explain. Yeah, go find it. Anyway, and they would give us looks. I mean, at first I was just kind of like, you know, smiling.
Wait, and somebody listening, I know one of you bitches, male, female, are going to listen and be like, oh, they're making this up. They're just exaggerating.
You think we don't got anything better to do than make up stories?
We just came from blissful California, motherfuckers.
I mean, really? Like, get over yourselves. So, why aren't they smiling? Like, they are, do they not smile? And at first I was like, oh, well, they're kind of older. And then it became not only not smiling, but when we would walk by, the next followed us down the aisle. And I'm like, wait, I'm not seeing this right, right? And then meeting people and just this little, and this is really a new term for me, but it's that microaggression that comes out when people are talking to you and then they're like, well, I mean, you know what I mean.
We're not there yet.
But it
oh, okay.
it
ahead.
Has
Go
to
ahead.
Tie in because that's part of it. Like even, so there's the strangers that don't know you.
That look at you.
That are looking at you.
And
you're like.
Even we experience that because Zach, my husband Zach is white. White.
Yeah.
And I'm Mexican plus. And we even get that look sometimes.
Yeah. So imagine. And see, I don't think that. I see,
but
you
see,
and Zach,
that's because
and I just
we're
see,
family.
Yeah, but I just see a white couple
and
to me.
And see, not everybody
right.
sees that.
Of course. So other people, you know, so now I'll take my husband. me and my husband walking down, there's like an Asian, either Asian and a white girl, which I don't look like a white girl. Asian and white or Asian and something else. And you're going to get the looks. And then meeting people and comments are made because people feel very free to say whatever the fuck they want.
I mean, we say whatever the fuck
we want. I mean, we say whatever the fuck we want, but we're not saying stuff like that. And that for me was, oh, wait a minute. I'm really not in Kansas anymore. Only my Kansas is California.
Mm-hmm.
It is whenever I talk to people who are in California and have only ever lived in California, except for a few who are more than happy for that kind of a change. I'm talking about minorities in California. And they're like, ah, you know, California is done. It's over. I can't wait to get the hell out of here. And I'm like, I have to interject because the cost of living is insane. And there's crowds and the policies here and there and taxes and whatever. But in terms of cultural diversity, there is something incredibly beautiful about living in a state that is just well represented all the way around. And when you move away from that, it's very difficult to find your footing when you feel something you've never felt before, which is to stand out and not necessarily in a positive light. Because now here I am, not just a Latina, but I'm here with my Asian husband. And together we make these extra mixed babies. So I'll let you.
And then that goes into our kids are multi-ethnic.
Yep.
And we want them to know, hey, be proud of your culture. Be proud to be American. But also, we're not going to lie to you. Look out for this.
Because we come from, I mean, we're raising them in these upper middle class neighborhoods, okay? And the tendency is that their culture gets very watered down because people seem to be afraid to stand out. Like as if your ethnicity is something too watered down. And that's
something, or to be ashamed of.
And that's what we didn't want our kids to experience. We wanted our children to have so much pride in every facet of their being, whether it be there. And, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and bash our American culture. We've said it and we will continue to say it many times. How very proud we are of that flag.
And it's okay to be proud to be American, but to also be proud to be Mexican and to be proud to be Filipino right. And to be proud Italian. Right. There is nothing wrong with that. And if you think that there's something wrong with that,
there's something wrong with you.
That's your own fucking insecurities.
Right.
And you go to whatever Tony Robbins seminar you need to fucking go to.
You need to walk over some coals. Walk over them coals, girl.
Do
boy,
it.
Whomever.
But don't hate just because
right. We're
raising our kids to be
our kids
to be proud of their various cultures.
Because here's the thing. And I've seen this especially a lot lately because of all the unrest that's going on. And behind it is an absolutely beautiful movement calling for equality and justice. So I see a lot of, especially from that younger generation, a lot of...
They woke.
They woke, but sometimes they can lose us older folk that have a lot of love for the flag. Now, when I say I love the flag, it doesn't mean that I'm entirely proud of our nation's complete history. There's a lot of shame in American history.
And I used the analogy earlier that it's just like a family, right? You have to be able to say, yeah, my family's dysfunctional,
right?
Or my family has some history I'm not proud of.
Right.
And if you can't say that, then you don't know your family.
You don't know the
secrets. You need to go talk to your Grammy and Grandpa.
That's right.
Because every family got something fucked up. Every country has something fucked up.
And in terms of countries, our country is like barely entering puberty in terms of age.
That's why they're so crazy.
Right now, they're all hormonal, acting crazy right now. Wanting to like jack off in every corner of the house and this
right
and
here,
that.
Right
over
there.
In the mattress.
Oh, yeah.
Glory hole. Oh. And there is something very hopeful in acknowledging the acne that exists.
American acne.
Because it means that it can be fixed. It means that in recognizing our failures, there is hope for the future. So when I see people kneeling down, I never feel that the flag is being disrespected. But even if I see that flag that I love on fire because someone decides to burn it, my heart's going to break because I love that flag. But at the same time, in that act that breaks my heart, I am proud to see that flag burn, that we live in a country where you are not going to have some military police come and take your whole family out into a street and annihilate them right in front of you.
And the flag burning is controversial.
Absolutely.
But that flag might have not done anything for that person that's burning it. They are taking out their rage and their hurt and everything on a flag that really hasn't done anything for them. And don't you dare fucking say, go back to where you came from.
Because
that does not fly with me, honey.
No. And that's just, and you know what? That kind of ignorance, that kind of merkin ignorance,
Marker.
That shit needs to be bleached out. Because that's crazy.
And it's the same worn out story. Ain't nobody from here.
Nope.
And usually the people that are having to burn that flag that didn't do shit for them, they didn't come on their own choice or their ancestors didn't.
No. And even still.
And they're still just as American as you.
So even still, the whole point leading to that was that act. Seeing that flag burn, okay, that is the American right that people fight for. That, you know, my dad and my grandfather and so many other people's grandparents.
He's not just yours.
I'm not talking to you.
R.I.P. Bob.
R.I.P. Bob. So many other people's grandparents and parents fought for the right for people to express what it is that they are experiencing. And yet, when that background is saying, oh, here we go again. Oh my gosh. But look at the rioting. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care what side you're on. I don't like to see the rioting and the looting. Because I'm seeing store owners. I'm seeing multi-ethnic store owners who have done everything, given up everything to start a business, see their whole life decimated in seconds. So I'm never going to get on that side. But in terms of the protesting, in terms of that marching and that demand for equality, I'm always going to get behind that. We're always going to get behind that. Because if we can experience in our light-skinned Latina selves, Latina selves, even we understand that we have reaped the rewards, the privilege of our white skin. Our white skin in terms of our culture. We have not had that. The Mexican experience is very complicated.
It's so complicated.
Because there's so many different ways. I can tell you right now, someone, more than one person that I know that's Mexican that's listening to us is like, bitch, they're crazy. That's not the experience. That's not what it's like.
I have met Mexicans that they are Mexican. They are browner than the tree outside.
Right.
And they're like, I'm not Mexican, I'm American. Like, they will deny their Mexicanness,
right,
up and down.
Right.
And I've met Mexicans that are like 2% Mexican.
That are so proud. Like, yes, I've met Mexicans that are full of nothing but rage. That are younger. That younger generation, man, they're just looking for something to get mad about. But they got something to be mad about. Because they're seeing the hard work that their parents have put in. Working menial jobs
or multiple jobs
and everything that they've done and have driven in, pounded the idea, the American ideal into their children's heads, and they're seeing their parents be spit upon. Upon, whatever.
That was too fast for my brain.
Slow down, Andrea.
But there's other things in our complicated Mexican culture that we're just not gonna put up with anymore.
No.
When you are making your little Mexican joke or Mexican comment, which I got so much in my fucking life, and I never knew how to answer it, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
And they do the, oh, you know what I mean.
Uh-uh, bitch.
I'm not going to say, oh, it's okay anymore.
No. Or it's always like, oh, no, I know. Like, somehow it has become your responsibility to make the racist comments okay. Because no one wants to deal with the uncomfortable silence.
And so now, if you know me and you do this stupid shit, I'm gonna call your fucking ass out. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, no, I don't get it. That's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not.
Even within our own family, the discussion, like, we've been talking about it a lot, like, deep heated discussions. The Mexican experience even varies within our own family.
Like within our six siblings.
That what bothers us, what doesn't bother us, all between the six of us, our views are all over the place. Imagine, and it's sad because I've talked to other people who are like, they can't even talk to their siblings anymore because we've talked about this past week with our brother here, how we understand now during the Civil War, how brother fought against brother. And you would think nothing would come between family, but sometimes it's bigger than that. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, our brother who is a cop, because we absolutely love him. We adore our brother. So we're always going to have his back.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you're never, that's us though.
And you don't have to like it.
But that's just how that shit is. That's how we roll, honey. But that's just how we were raised. Even though our cousin down the street could be like, you guys are full of it. That's crazy. Doesn't think anything the way we do. Or if you have a cousin across, you know, two towns over who's like, what? That's not what it's like. Because their experience aren't going to be the same as yours.
And it's going to be based off of their color.
Absolutely.
Where they live. Absolutely. Everything else.
Yep.
But I'm not going to minimize somebody else's experience. Nope. But I am going to help you with your fucking ignorance.
Now, and the thing is that we've had to acknowledge our own journey to get here. We've had to go like, wait a minute. There was a long time where we were kind of like, well, I'm just American. And we just kind of fed into that. And yes, we are absolutely 100% American. But at the same time, if we're going to be judged by our ethnicity, then damn it, we're going to learn about it and celebrate it.
And there's no point not to. I'm not going to be embarrassed or ashamed to hide my ethnicity.
No.
Or to even learn about it.
Nope.
Make fun of my fucked up sporcha.
Make fun of my
sporcha?
Yes, sporcha.
My pocha Spanish.
What am I sporcha do with
this? What am I sporcha do with this now?
Mexican word of the day. Sporcha.
But I'm going to keep learning about it.
Yes.
And I don't care.
And we're going to keep celebrating it.
And this is something that we've been talking about a lot in the last few weeks, is how, historically speaking, the Mexican-American struggle and the Black American struggle, yes, they have differences, but there's a lot of similarities.
Absolutely.
So right before everything happened with George Floyd a couple months ago, there was a big uproar about the kids in cages and the families getting separated.
Right.
So, and it goes just beyond Mexicans and Blacks. It's the Asians too.
So, everybody has a place in this battle.
And it's not a political war.
No.
It's not right versus left.
This
it's
is about right versus wrong. This is social justice.
So, like we said in the beginning, we can't spleek.
Oh my God.
What spocha? Is my S words?
Spocha and spleek. S-P.
We can't speak for the Black community.
No.
Because we're not Black.
And you know,
and we haven't had the exact same experiences as them.
We can't even speak for the Mexican community. We only speak in for ourselves.
But we do feel that the Blacks and the Mexicans and everybody else.
Everyone in between.
Needs to band together.
And stop pointing out, oh, well, but for us, or what about, well, you know, this life matters and that life matters. It's like, fool. That meme that I've been seeing, I absolutely love it. Nobody said that only Black lives matter. Nobody is saying that Black lives are more important than anyone else's.
If they're saying anything, they're saying that Black lives have always mattered less.
Yes.
So if you feel like you're part of some group that's been targeted or this or that, honey, you ain't had it as bad as the Blacks in America.
No.
You have not.
Never.
So Black lives are the most undervalued life in America.
So we're going to break it down. And I know you've been seeing this everywhere, okay?
And you're getting pissed.
And that's okay. Because getting pissed is part of the issue. Ask yourself, why am I so pissed off?
What are you afraid of?
What are you pissed off because you can't go and see your favorite, you know, person put on makeup on Instagram without seeing a meme.
That's me.
Hey, that's me. Without seeing someone talk about social injustice. Yes, it's being put out there for a reason. Are you pissed off because maybe, great, now I have to go out and watch my P's and Q's when I'm talking to my neighbor? Yeah, bitch, you should have been doing that all along.
And really then you need to look at yourself, because what the hell is wrong with you that you think having these racial tendencies is okay?
And it's not okay. And so here we are, two American girls.
Two Mexican bitches.
Who happen to be Mexican and Italian. And proud of that shit. And proud of their flag. Mm-hmm. Are telling you, stop being such a dick.
Seriously. And do not Bible thump this shit.
Oh, no. Oh.
Because. Ooh, honey. I was just having a conversation online with a girl I went to high school with. Mm. And Jesus was a rebel, honey.
He was.
He stirred the pot.
And for those of you that get mad, like, why people got to bring... Fine, you don't believe in God? Fine. It's just right versus wrong. So talk to your crystal. If that's what you go through, like your crystals tell you the right thing or wrong thing to do. Or, you know, if you have to go and, you know, commune with Buddha. If you go off of whatever it is, whatever compass.
Even if you don't believe in something.
Whatever compass you use that navigates right and wrong, you have to think, is this the way I want someone to treat me? Do I want someone to follow my daughter or my son down the street and see what they're up to all the time? And just because they're suspicious, decide that they're going to shoot them. Am I going to...
If you've never had to have a talk with your kid when they leave the house,
right,
to not look this way, not dress this way, right, don't look somebody in the eye, don't go to the white neighborhood, right, don't do this, don't do that. If a policeman stops you, have your hands... If you haven't had to have those conversations with your kids, and guess what? Those aren't exaggerations. Those are real conversations.
And on this end, for my own personal experience, what I'm noticing is the conversations I'm having, and mostly, and I hate to throw it out there and God forbid marginalize you for once in your life, but especially with white males, I'm having to have these conversations where they're so angry and they're feeling so judged and they're feeling like people are calling them race. I mean, several conversation with white male friends and acquaintances.
Not your job to come for
and
him.
And I'm sitting them. Here thinking, wait a minute. You are feeling marginalized. You are feeling what many, 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 what millions of people have felt forever for the first time in your life.
You feel a little bit uncomfortable.
You're feeling a little uncomfortable in your underpants.
In your khakis.
And you don't like it. And instead of getting angry with them, because, you know, the fastest path to divisive tendencies is to just get mad at people. And I don't want to give anyone else any excuse to be any more divided than they already are. I don't know, maybe it's the hippie in me. Am I a hippie?
Did you
a hippie
smoke a lot of weed? Call you out. What
in the name of decency? But the last thing I want is to make a bad situation worse. So it's like, what do we got to do? I don't want to have to hold the motherfucker's hand.
No.
I'm about to do that.
It's your own responsibility to research everything on
your... And look into yourself and go, oh, I might sound like a racist dick.
And really, you want resources? Don't go to your black friends. Oh. They got enough shit going on right now.
Find out for yourself and look at different... I mean, like, if I talk to one more white dude that says, oh, well, what about the growing number of Latinos that are for this person? And we're not going to mention that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what about the growing number of blacks that feel this way? It's like, who the fuck are you talking to? Get your head out of your ass into reality and notice that everywhere you turn, this is a defining moment in our nation's history. I hope the world, but the nation at least. And you want to make sure that you're on the correct side of history.
Most radio stations, and I've been seeing this lately, most radio stations, TV stations, and you know, if you're really brave enough, you can go to the Black Lives Matter website.
Right.
Has resources that you can educate yourself on. So if you're still angry and you're still confused and you don't get it, read, and don't just read the far right propaganda. Don't just read the far left propaganda.
Just educate yourself. Look up American history. If you're okay with that, well then you're a racist prick.
I mean, you can very easily find pictures of lynchings.
Absolutely.
And if you can look at that picture
and be like, he probably deserved it. Well, you're probably a fucking racist and you're happy about it. So what we have to say don't matter. But if you fall in those other categories, we're like, it just seems like they're always complaining about something. And if you feel the need to refer to African Americans as they
and
or
them,
Mexican Americans or Asian Americans or anyone else as they and them, you kind of have a problem.
Those people
over there. Okay, so that's our little take. That's our little Mexicanness. That's our little
Guatemalanness.
That's our little experiences in living in our own skin, our light ass, easily burned Mexican skin that we're very proud to live in.
And we just barely had like an appetizer of racism in our life, if we're going to be honest.
Like nothing. Little morsels. It's like little like breadcrumbs, like we're Hansel and Gretel.
And it still affected how we view things
and
how
still
we are.
It still pisses us the fuck off. So
on that note,
we hope you have a wonderful week. Everybody stay safe. Try to calm down. Try to be level-headed. And now,
if you haven't followed us on Instagram or Facebook, do so. Suburban Hood Moms, we're easy to find. With that, get the fuck out.
Peace.